Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." On this edition of God and Country Radio, we are going to look at Jesus' radical solution for mankind, the new birth. This is a solution that is rarely known or understood by the social and political leaders of our nation. When have you ever heard a politician or a political talk show host or a news commentator say that the only solution is for more and more individuals to experience the new birth spoken of by Jesus? I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, and you are listening to God and Country Radio, a ministry of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. Our website is godandcountryradio.org. One thing is for sure. The world really doesn't understand the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But that should not surprise us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they're spiritually appraised." The world thinks that the problems and the solutions are related to economics, the distribution of wealth, education, the environment, the need for more laws. And they don't understand that men are dead in their trespasses and sin, that man has a bent toward evil, and that in order for an individual or society to change, there must be an encounter with God called a new birth, whereby the soul of man is changed by the power of God. This solution is not on mankind's agenda. And the people of this world go vainly about looking for new methods when God says we need new men. And what is even more disturbing is that we hear many evangelical leaders and solid conservatives who are fuzzy in their understanding of Christ's cure through the new birth. Instead, many are still preaching the law. I was recently reading a book by the founder of a premier conservative organization in America. And the premise of the book was that if we just got back to following America's core principles, our nation will once again be prosperous and law-abiding. Principles such as individual responsibility, freedom, accountability, smaller government, self-reliance. But these principles are only the fruit of good souls. What we really need in America is good souls. And that does not come by political education. So many people attribute the greatness of America to the principles of freedom and democracy alone, when the true reason America succeeded was because this nation has had great spiritual revivals under the preaching of the gospel. This nation has contained many born-again, spirit-filled men. And even though all Americans were not born again, these people were salt and light to give even unbelievers discipline, hope, inspiration. The problem with mankind is that he is born in sin and corruption, and therefore does not have the insight and the moral power to do good. And when a group of natural men, who are by nature children of wrath, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, get together to form a country, all you will get is trouble. The reason for any improvement is that God changes men's hearts. Too many American historians and social commentators believe that American freedom produced virtue and industry, when it's just the reverse. Virtue and industry produce freedom, and virtue comes by a man's heart being changed by the power of God. Another example that came across my desk last week was that someone sent me a link to a political cartoon produced by Harding College back in 1948. The cartoon was called Make Mine Freedom. It begins with a farmer, a factory worker, a politician, a banker, all complaining about the inequities of democracy. A slick salesman comes along and tries to sell them all on the ism of communism, socialism. Another cartoon character tells these men not to be taken in by quick fix promises and shows them that the freedom of democracy has created in America a standard of living unsurpassed in the history of the world. And he shows them that communism, socialism, will destroy the freedoms that made America great. Now, at first, this cartoon appears to be exactly what the young people in America need to see today. But as I thought about it, this social commentary from Harding College misses something. I realized that even back in 1948, the social thinkers, although conservative, were not giving God his proper due. They were attributing success and prosperity to freedom, as if freedom alone has intrinsic power in itself to make people and nations good. But in reality, if the majority of the population is not born again, freedom only fuels corruption and decline. And I would say that the reason America is in such a moral and economic decline is that 60 years ago, back in 1948, the educational intelligentsia began to abandon Jesus Christ. The first generation to abandon Jesus Christ kept, out of tradition, the morals of Jesus without Jesus. The next generation, the baby boomers, rejected the morals also. I'll put a link to this cartoon on our website. Right beside the title of this program, click on Synopsis, and there you will find the link. As you watch the cartoon, ask yourself the question, what is missing? And it's no small thing to leave off the power of new life in Christ. But let's look at the unique message of Jesus, a message that even Nicodemus, a well-educated Jewish leader steeped in the scriptures, did not understand. For Jesus will say to Nicodemus, "You are a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" John chapter 3 begins this way. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We read here that Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. It seems obvious that Nicodemus wanted to keep this meeting a secret. Even at this early date in Jesus' ministry, identifying with Jesus would bring reproach, especially if you are a religious leader. But Nicodemus is open-minded, and he wants to give Jesus a fair hearing. And the first thing he says to Jesus is, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Nicodemus saw the miracles, and he was intellectually honest enough to admit that Jesus must be from God. There are two things Nicodemus says, that Jesus comes from God, that God is with Jesus. Because of the prophecies in the Old Testament, the Jews were expecting a Messiah figure to arrive. There was all sorts of debate over who the Messiah would be and what he would do. Some said he would be a Moses-like figure. Others understood the Messiah to be a new king for Israel from the Davidic dynasty. A small minority with deep faith believed from Scripture that the Messiah would be more than just a political figure. He would be God come in the human flesh. This is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." He will be the Mighty God. The first chapter in the book of John explains the person of Jesus. In John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." So we learn from John chapter 1 that Jesus was the Creator God from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Part of the new birth is accepting and believing both who Jesus is, as described in John chapter 1, and believe in what he came to do, as described in John chapter 3. We really don't know what Nicodemus believed about Jesus,